This is Melinda Ollie-Doan, KPFT, and I'm going to be taking notes. And I'll just go down the list. Dr. Sarif?
He is not there.
Okay. Jane?
I don't believe she's on either.
I know Bonnie. I heard Bonnie.
I'm there.
Don White?
Here.
Sharma Gluck?
She's temporarily off, but she's on the call.
Okay.
Oh, she can take it in a minute.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there she is.
Okay, cool. Sharma's here?
Sharna.
Hey, the contacts aren't working well tonight. Madeline Schwab.
Here.
Thank you. Patty Heffley. Is she still at the gym? What about Michael?
Wait a minute. How come you skipped me? Steve Brown.
Excuse?
I missed on the list.
I know. It's not in alphabetical order.
No, but it's in station order.
Sorry?
Station order.
I'm sorry, I'm having difficulty hearing.
Oh, it's in station order.
You have Steve on your list, don't you?
I want to get to you.
Okay.
I'm about to get you're next.
Okay.
Steve Brown?
That's me. I'm here.
Call it a hunch. Sorry about that. Michael Warren?
Nope.
Is Michael Warren here?
No.
Teresa Allen is definitely here.
I'm here.
And I heard Philip Jackson, and I believe I'm here. And what about...
Is Phil Jackson on the line?
I heard
he is indeed.
Thank you, Phil.
You did not hear that melodious voice? Give me a break. Let's see. And I believe we got... Is it A.C. Boyd? Bird?
A.C. Bird is not on, I think.
And I know Kalonji's not here, right?
Right.
And Dan Logan's not here either.
I think he is here. Didn't he call?
Pardon?
I thought I heard him say he was here.
Is Dan? Dan?
Well, maybe not. Okay.
Speak up and be counted.
I guess
all right, folks. Don White and I only have a few minutes.
I'm
can we move it along?
I'm ready.
Robbins.
I'm ready to take
yep.
notes now.
I'm the affiliate.
And you got Rip Robbins?
Yeah. I got Rip Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian DeShazer and Addie Gevins are also online.
Okay.
Hi.
Yeah. Madam Chair.
Yes. Shall I begin here?
Yes.
Welcome to the Archives Committee meeting. My name is Bonnie Simmons, and I am chairing this committee. I think for the sake of expediency, we ought to jump right in here if we can. We have done roll call. We need to approve the agenda. I would welcome a motion to do so.
Move to approve.
Any additions? Does anyone have additional items they'd like discussed?
Can we put the affiliates coordinator on there somewhere at the bottom? I just want to sort of invite the idea to invite the affiliates coordinator, but I want to figure out something specific so we can agendize it.
Okay. Shall I just put that at the very tip of the agenda
yeah.
here?
No, at the bottom of the tip.
Yeah.
The toe root.
I guess I was thinking the bottom tip. Any other thoughts here?
My thought is let's please, for no reason at all, let's make it part of item number 5, which is the education work group, just so it's part of something that's already on the agenda.
All right.
If there are no objections.
Does anyone object to us putting it as 5B?
Well, it's a new item. I mean, it's not related to...
Okay. Does anyone object to us putting it between 5 and 6?
And what item are we putting between 5 and 6?
A discussion of inviting the affiliates coordinator to the archives meeting.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, I think it's not as important as the archive survey, which is number 7. Just put it at the bottom.
Patty.
It shouldn't be that big of a deal.
It's helpful to just put all new business at the bottom.
All right. We'll go back to putting it at the bottom of the agenda. Do I hear any objections to that?
So that makes it item number 9?
It does.
Okay, thank you.
Without objection, we'll put discussion about the affiliates coordinator as item 9. Any other item additions or comments to the agenda? May we approve the agenda without objection?
Yes, you may.
Okay, agenda approved. How about approving those minutes from 3:22 that Teresa sent out?
I move that we approve the minutes of 3:22 of 06.
Second that.
Okay, I have a second. Are there any objections to approving the minutes of the last meeting on March 22nd? We have approved the minutes for 3:22, and in record time, we are now
Woo-hoo!
On to the discussion of the NEH grant, which I believe Sherna and Addie will take us through.
Well, Brian and I had a long conversation. Addie joined us. As I mentioned to the old committee, I had a very good relationship with the program officer I had in the Preservation and Access Division, the NEH.
Mm-hmm.
I did call her after Brian and Addie and I spoke, and unfortunately for us, she's retiring. Well, by now she's retired. She was retiring at the end of April. However, she referred me to the person who's going to be dealing with what they viewed as media projects.
And who is that?
His name is Charles Kolb, K-O-L-B. Brian, is that the person that you mentioned?
Oh, yes.
We know
him. I met him at the Society of American Archivists.
Right,
and,
okay.
This is
so
really, really good.
Yeah,
yes.
So he's the one, and she was going to talk to him. So what I discussed with her after Brian and Addie and I spoke is there were two different possible ways to go with a grant proposal. One is sound preservation, which is always my priority, and the other is a folio project that all the folios from KPFA and I guess K and maybe WBAI exist in print and some from other stations, and to scan those and so that those are preserved with the words of some now famous people and graphics by some now famous people.
Well,
so there were two
access to the program.
Right, and also
right.
Description, you know, program schedules. So we could go with either one or the other. She didn't think that either one, that it would matter, that both were really good projects. We discussed the political issue of Pacifica and the NEH Council members. The NEH Council is the level at which it becomes political, and I, in fact, had trouble on mine the second time around and then got it after one council member went off. So there are some issues about these are all now Bush appointees who are on the council, but she thought that we could figure out a way to frame it. Oh, what's that?
Uh-oh.
Okay, I'm going to keep talking. I don't know what
Can
that
everyone
is.
Press #1?
#1?
Then you will mute yourself.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Where's all that?
I think sure enough may have.
Except the person that's speaking.
The person speaking, was that Sherna or Addie?
Sherna.
Okay. Thank
Sherna
you. Because I'm
press #1 again.
I'm over here tapping away. I'm thinking, who is that talking about?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So then what? When Addie and Brian and I spoke, the next step was up to them. There was someone who had worked on grants in the past, who was a grant writer, and I think Addie was going to speak with her, and then we were going to decide about pursuing it or not. So I throw it to Addie now.
What is NEH?
Oh, I'm sorry, National Endowment for the Humanities. And this is the Preservation and Access Division. that we're talking about. And there's and a July
preservation
deadline.
What?
Preservation in excess. And there's a July deadline, I think July 15th, but normally the way they function is you try and get something to them 6 weeks in advance, and the staff sends back some comments and suggestions. So that's the end of my role. Now it's a matter of whatever Brian and Addie follow it up with and whatever they may have decided. Addie?
Addie, are you on?
Pound, pound one, Addie. No, I mean, is it star, it's, I'm sorry, it's star, star one. I hope I didn't knock everybody off the call.
Yeah, it's your fault.
Who's still on the call?
This is
Melinda, trying to figure out how to make sense of these notes.
Bonnie.
Melinda,
Don White
Bonnie.
Is on the call.
Steve is
Don.
Still here.
It's a star, star one to come back on the line, right? Star, star one?
Yes,
yep.
And I think I said pound, pound one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Eddie,
star.
Are you there?
Brian,
Brian,
are you there?
Are you there?
Ooh, mysterious.
I'm scared.
Well, I hope they're dialing back in.
Okay, so where?
Oh.
Who's that? Brian or Eddie, are you back on? So where we stand is Addie had
hello, this is Patty. It's pound pound one to mute and star six on the other phone call. So pound pound one is correct, not star. And this is Patty Heffley.
Yeah, Patty, to mute, but what about to come back on?
The same. It's a toggle.
Oh, okay.
It's the same. Pound pound one either way.
Okay.
Addie,
okay,
are you
cool.
back?
Brian.
Brian?
I am back again.
Brian, so maybe you could tell us what you and Addie, how you then followed up and what you've decided.
Sure. You know, the main part was just trying to get to Julia Hutton is the name of the woman
okay.
you were talking about at Sherna. And I don't think she's necessarily a grant writer. When Addie comes back in, I think she'll be able to give her title better.
Addie,
oh, there
am
she
I
is.
Here?
Okay. Yes,
oh, good. Okay.
So I was just dropping Julia's Hutton's name and saying I don't think she's a grant writer. She's somewhere in the middle. And then if you want to take over, then I'll tell you about my conversation with National Office about her.
Good.
Okay, so is who will take over me?
Addie.
Yeah,
okay.
Addie, you.
Okay. Hi. So what so the thing is that what we still would have to do would be to decide what the scope of this grant would be in terms of preservation access. And I've got the feeling that we really have to take a big step forward. I think we have to ask for a big step forward because I think we've done about as much preliminary planning
mm-hmm.
as people are going to have patience for. But in order for us to actually take that big step forward, we really need to be able to have the staff and facilities to be able to carry out the project. And that's kind of the wall that we hit our heads upon when we're thinking about it. So,
literally.
yes. because as most of you all know, we've got, you know, no space and the staff is very, very stressed.
Addie, but I'm still not understanding. Since it's not
yes.
a match, since a match is not required on this project, which was true of mine, we could put in for the staff who might be required. And, you know, certainly I don't think we should be held up by a space issue if we're talking about the ability to, move ahead with more preservation, either of the folios or of sound preservation.
Well, for either, we really must know that we actually can have the space. We really must know that the organization can do the administrative work, which, believe me, is a problem. Please trust my experience. It is
right.
a problem. Okay.
John White here with a question.
Yes.
Yeah, Addie, others. If you write a grant and you need workspace and so on, can't you write into the grant proposal the renting of appropriate space for the project?
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
These grants usually assume an infrastructure that you can use, but you can write in staff.
I knew you could write in staff, but I was thinking that if a preservation program with masses of course that may not be actually accurate, that it will be masses, but that you would need additional space to do the kind of job that you need to do. But what you're saying is they definitely will not fund space in a grant.
Yeah, and usually won't even fund equipment.
You usually have to rent it or contract things. We can contract, right.
The other possibility is to write these, to write it as contracting out the preservation of either of the, either the folio or the sound material, audio materials. Or we also discussed the possibility of somehow linking these, of having it be both, doing a limited amount of each and having them linked to each other. That was another possibility.
Because the folio really is the really best possible finding aid for our audio archives.
Right, and the applications we've already used with it just in the first five samples has really been incredible.
Just fortuitously, it's been amazing. You've talked to them about...
No, not yet. No,
okay.
I haven't.
Well, anyway, it's just, everything is so amazing and so rich that it always happens. They really are linked, and you will tell those beautiful stories, right?
Yes.
Brian?
Well, Addie, let me ask you this, and Brian. Was that outsourced? Doing that original folio scanning and preservation?
The very original folio stuff, was really kind of like a sample.
I know,
and
but where and how was it done?
Yeah, we did it partially over here in Oakland, and then we moved the equipment over there and got people trained. But it really is, it was very stressful getting the quarters. Should we tell them about the leak or not, Brian?
Oh yeah.
so we tried to find enough space to put the beautiful new equipment that we'd bought after it had been tested and the first stuff had been tried out and everything and all the standards were created by somebody, by our expert here, Jenna Allison in Oakland, and then we moved the equipment and set it up over there in L.A. And then it turned out almost immediately that the only place we could find in the archive space where it could fit was under a leak in the roof.
And so it was the day that it rained.
It was the day it rained. It was the day that our expert was coming down to work with the stuff. It was like we just wanted to die.
Right, so we saw great stuff on the computer, but the printer had been rained on, so we couldn't use the printer until it had dried out for a couple of weeks. So we never got to print out, the product of our stuff.
But so you do have the equipment still?
Yes.
Yeah, and Loretta Aeroff is working on scanning more folios and doing the optical character recognition, which makes
OCR.
Now, where is she doing it, Brian?
She's doing it in the green room.
Away from the leak.
Sort of position the desk in the middle of the room.
All right. So, in reality, that is being done and could continue to be done. So, it seems like that's the more feasible thing, indicating links to some audio. Perhaps.
Right. So the audio would be outsourced probably to Philadelphia, where we've taken the previous
where we all know we all have a good relationship.
Right.
I mean, in terms of knowing our standards.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't see then that we have that big a deal either with space, equipment, or staff.
Well, we have to see how much
that they, we have to see how much material they actually can handle in Philadelphia. And we have to see what we can actually handle. We need more staff here. The staffing is not adequate. Is that not correct, Brian?
Yes, that's true. And the space, the space really is bad, every report that we've ever gotten. So we're not sort of like downing the NEH idea, but don't get us wrong. But I think what we're saying is that we can do the same project, and this is sort of what we said, we would do the same project as we did with the NEA and the Grammy and the Ford, just through the NEA and be able to select, more humanities recordings rather than music recordings. And we can do it in the same way, but I think what Eddie's trying to highlight after sort of reflecting on it is that we're the same six people trying to do the same thing in these little preliminary, like 100 tapes and five folios.
Yeah. They're all going to get fed up with us.
That was really about testing and setting it up and making the assessment.
Right.
Like the database is set up with the folios. And what Addie is saying that we really need, we're ready to take the big leap to get bigger money, but we have these restrictions that are always going to be there. And so,
but you've got the staff. I mean, staff could get written into the grant.
Well, no, we don't have the staff.
No,
we have a temporary person.
Yeah, I know, but just writing people in doesn't make it happen.
What do you mean? If you get the grant, then we look for the people who could do it.
Brian, should I cry or what? But
not
yes.
Yet.
Okay.
I'm very concerned because we absolutely have to start moving to preserve material.
Yes, absolutely.
And we have to do everything in our power to make it happen.
And we need that energy that you've got to make us make it over some of these humps. No kidding.
Right.
And they're really
difficult. Here's what I propose about the space. Why don't, Sherna and Don, why don't we, and Madeline, why don't we set up some sort of, like, visit, and then we can sort of sit down, and I can show you the exact reports, and then we can sort of take you on a tour with this in mind. Like, really try to envision, with 100 tapes and with more folios, you can watch Loretta do what she does.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to talk about, we actually have to hire a full-time cataloger this June.
Right. And then you guys can help us figure
desk and
it
another
out.
Computer and another person.
Yeah.
So, once we sort of like show you what our restrictions are, then maybe we can funnel that energy to the positive solution. Because we don't want to like stop preservation until we get a new building. But we have to just, I don't think the NEH is the right one to go to for more small bits.
No, I'm not.
You
want
to go to the NEH
as
a big bit.
I'm right.
Yes, exactly. They want us to go big. I really feel that too.
Yeah.
And, another problem though, you guys, since we're all family, Pacifica has always had a really difficult time with accepting and digesting large grants.
Well, I mean, this isn't, like $1 million. There's a limit to these.
Yes, but let me tell you, the degree of large that Pacifica has had a hard time digesting isn't very large.
I'm confused.
Let me just say that I found an article that Addie used to do board reports to the Pacifica board back in the 70s, so she knows from where she speaks.
Well, now, Brian, did you talk to the national office? You said you did?
Yeah, I did, and I have to say, it's a bit confusing right now. Julia is already on payroll. I don't know if it's not permanent staff, but she's a consultant with national office for various things and funding issues, more in the land of development, not necessarily grant funding, but various things.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lonnie, we brought the idea to Lonnie, the CFO, and Greg, I think, was listening in the background. And there was some sort of like mild, yes, we have her. Well, what do you want her to do? And, we've already talked to Julia, but, who's going to pay her? So we're still in the land of, Lonnie, are you going to call Julia or are we going to call Julia? And how much time do we need? So I think, now we got to get Julia, Lonnie, Addie, and myself on the phone to see if there's enough money for her to do what we need her to do.
Julia's also starting to work on a book, so we really have to grab her.
Well, there's not a lot of time to get this prepared.
Right.
Now, let me tell everyone the one concern that was raised and I think has to get dealt with is NEH... the program officer expressed some concern. She said, we have confidence that Cal State Long Beach is going to be there, for my grant. But we don't necessarily have confidence that Pacifica is going to be there forever.
We might have been there longer than Cal State Long Beach. When did they
think
that?
So. And the issue is, Addie, wait a minute. No, seriously, the issue is, what is a backup plan?
Okay,
and,
I get it. Yeah.
And I think that has to get confronted.
So do you think we need to partner with another institution?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think that maybe this is something Brian and Addie, you could be discussing with, what's his name from that Freedom Foundation?
Claude.
Yeah.
Claude Marks.
Yeah, I wonder if it's something you might discuss with him and see if he has ideas as to how to approach that question.
Well, that's an idea. I mean, he's got less, his foundations are not as deep as ours.
Right, right.
And I'm telling you, the thing, when was Cal State Long Beach founded?
Oh, but the
whole
point is,
we're older.
No, that's not the issue. The issue is the resources and the California State University 22 campuses are not going to disappear. No matter what, the funding may get cut back, but they're not going to disappear.
So, you know, the thing is that UCLA we could maybe partner with, but would that be politically and et cetera rarely acceptable?
Well, it's not a matter of partnering so much as, and this is kind of a long-term issue, really, folks.
Yes, yes.
You know, what? How do we assure...
No, we're
the,
all thinking.
You know, survival of the archives.
Chair,
I mean,
Madam Chair, I'm wondering if this needs to go back to the educational group or another group to work on this. Because I think maybe my feeling is, and correct me if I'm wrong, that in this meeting you want to educate us as board members and then tell us what you need specifically, and then we can decide whether we can help you achieve that. But going into details as to whether it's politically correct to partner with some, I mean, it's a streamed meeting, so I'm not sure that making statements about what is politically correct or not, or discussing strategy, I don't know whether that is productive.
Okay, thank you, but thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Teresa.
You know, one thing is that we don't have that much time. If we're going to go after this grant, we don't have that much time. So we really have to be, we've got to figure it out organizationally.
Addie, I do. This is Bonnie. I do think that considering there's a couple pieces of this that appear to still need a little bit more massaging, could I... maybe propose that we do either get this together and have another work group. I don't know whether we do it through the education work group. Maybe that would make sense. Or at least get you and Brian and Sherna and everyone involved in this on a smaller work group and then come back to the committee with this.
Yeah, that's great. Do people feel like this is worth our time, though?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I obviously do.
Sure. Don White with a comment.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I may be way off base, but earlier I raised the issue of space, you know, actually having the infrastructure to do this correctly without crowding everything into the archives. So I think the committee should consider the possibilities of a collaboration with an institution that could provide some space for this. Now, I know, I've talked to Brian a lot, I know the primary issue here is security and preservation of our treasures, you know. But if we could collaborate with a institution of higher learning or something, and they see this as an important, a very important project that they want to collaborate with us, instead of writing into a grant funding for space, maybe a collaboration with some institution that can provide some space is a possibility. Because I'm very sympathetic to the problems of space in the archives, because we spend time up there, and I know the
Don,
situation.
I mean, this is Sherna. I have a problem about our partnering with an institution and they're then becoming somehow owners of the archival materials. I mean, that,
oh, that could not be permitted.
Problematic. But here's an idea, and Brian, it needs, and you know, maybe we need a conference call with Lonnie and Greg. We have to make sure that they are on board. Usually there's an overhead cost written into a grant, and that overhead assumes that the institution is providing phones and space, etc. If they could understand that and understand that we write an overhead in and then they are obligated to rent or find space for this to happen, I think that may be the route to go.
Well, they'll have to apply for overhead because they haven't had, Pacifica hasn't had an overhead.
Well, no, that's automatically in all these grants.
I mean, it hasn't had, yeah, but it hasn't had it with the federal government for a few decades. So it needs to be requalified, which it, of course, can be, but it's a thing.
Oh.
Another thing is, Brian, do you think we should talk to Gary?
To Gary Hanneman?
Yes.
Yes, we should.
Because,
He's at UC Berkeley, everybody who doesn't know. Gary, we've worked with Gary Hanneman on the Free Speech Movement Project and collaborated with him on the Black Panther Project.
Yeah.
And currently the Vietnam War era recordings project.
And there's never any fear that ownership is ever in question about who actually...
We've been able to finesse that very well with Gary there. I mean, with, you know, it has to do with what division of what part of what system of which university.
Right.
Right.
You know, as far as Cal goes. And so we do have a, we do have footing in a place where we all understand each other, that we might try.
Well, I think you all need to pursue some of this.
I'm very conscious of, Sherna and Don's time crunch tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Is there objection to us putting together another work group conference call for those that are really involved and interested in this to continue it?
Can we put it in the building campaign? I mean, the building committee, because it really is about space, and that's the building
idea. What I would recommend is that Brian and Addie have to make some decisions and make some preliminary context to explore this. We do not have a lot of time. That includes, and maybe it requires a conference call with the National Office with some of the members of the Archive Committee.
Oh, yeah, if you guys could help us with the National Office, Brian, wouldn't
that
help?
That would be great.
So maybe that's, you know, one place to start. I mean, I think there are a couple steps that have to be taken, and we don't have a lot of time.
Thank you. So let's look at that, and then we'll see if that will help us, you know, for this deadline or next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I think that maybe at the New York PNB, we can maybe get the Archives Committee members that are present to meet with Greg and have at least 15 minutes at a table.
I think that's a very good suggestion. Most of us will be there in New York.
Great. I'm getting an incredibly loud static.
What is that?
Yeah, that's some static from somebody.
Okay.
There we go. All right.
I'm going to put the phone down for a minute, and I may be going off the call. I think.
Rip Robbins with a question for Brian.
Yeah, hi, Rip.
Go ahead, Rip.
Hey, Brian. People are talking about a short timeline for this NEH grant. What is that time? What is the deadline?
July.
I think it's mid-July.
Like the 15th, right?
Yeah. But normally they want you to submit a preliminary proposal 6 weeks or so in advance so they could review it and give you... Well, hold on.
And you really have to be working with them. It's really important.
We're talking early June.
This is Sherna. Yeah. I'm going off the call. The rest of the committee is here.
All right, Sherna.
Okay. Thanks, Sherna.
Thank you, Sherna.
And Don, are you also off?
I'll come in. Uh-huh.
Don, are you still on, or are you going to the...
I'm still on, and could I just indulge the committee for a moment? Agenda item 6, report from financial work group. If I could have two sentences before I leave the call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you need to leave the call now?
Yes, they are calling us into our programming oversight committee meeting.
Is everybody fine with us just jumping over a report? Why don't you go ahead, Don?
Well, yeah, and this is really short. You'll recall that this financial work group is tiny. I think it's Jane Jackson and myself at the present time.
And Brian.
And with Brian, I was going to say, and with Brian being a key person there. Jane and I talked on the phone. We'll probably be calling a meeting of this group after she returns from Europe. At the present time, it has really not met in a substantial way, but it's definitely a commitment we have to increase its membership, hopefully, with people from every signal area on the committee, and we have kind of a plan to do that outreach. But there is no report tonight of any substantial merit. I'm sorry.
And is there anyone on the call that might be interested in joining the work group, the financial work group?
It's called Capital Campaign / Fundraiser.
Capital Campaign Building Fund.
I do have some good news to report on it, even though we haven't convened anything. So shall I tell you that now? So I have some good news in the regard of the building campaign. At the NFCB conference, Bon Kelly is the general manager of the affiliate station in Vermont at Goddard College, and is a supporter of the archive for many years. And we had a big discussion about this space in the building campaign and, how we were going to reach out beyond Pacifica's tentacles. And he had a really great idea and was so excited to talk to some major donors. So we have some sort of outside assistance already and outreach. And he thinks in Grand Junction, Colorado, there are some major donors that would possibly buy us property. So at least we have some people that are putting feelers out. And I think
they buy you
really
property in Grand Junction, Colorado?
Sure.
I just have one thing to tell
you.
Having grown up there part of my life.
Uh-oh.
Cold as you've ever been in your entire life. Just thought I'd throw that in.
I know, but there's low humidity. I was going to say it's like the low humidity in the country.
Yeah, it's definitely
the money stays crisp up there.
You've been out of Virginia too long, Brian.
Okay, just a clarification. When the chair asked if there were other people on the call interested in this financial...
Yes.
Yeah, the financial work group, which we hesitate to call a capital campaign group because it sounds so overwhelming.
Because we might be killed.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll tell you, just post to the archives at Yahoo Groups and come on board, and we'll be announcing a meeting.
Oh, great. Okay.
Very good. And,
okay.
why don't you, when you actually figure out when you will convene, put that through the Yahoo group also?
Yes. We'll do that for sure.
Maybe people will want to jump on at that point.
Say, Don, who would be sending an invitation to join that group?
Actually, it'll be Jane Jackson and myself.
Okay.
And she is actually out of the country right now. I think she's in Mexico, actually. And is this Rip?
Yes.
Yes, good, Rip. We'll be doing that announcement. And before we announce a time and so on, we'll be surveying to see what's convenient for people.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Rip, there is a Yahoo discussion group that that we have been sending messages back and forth through, and we should get you on that also.
Yeah. Is it,
are you referring to archives.com
at
Yahoo Groups?
At Yahoo, yeah. It's a Yahoo Groups, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Is everybody on that?
I think someone needs to give me an invitation to join.
Yes.
Unless it's
okay,
an open group.
We'll take it. Teresa, did you hook everybody up onto that? I can't remember who did it.
I think I contacted Sapita and asked if she would do it, and then I saw some communication with her and someone else asking to...
I'll look back through and figure out who had originally done that.
I would like to suggest something, though. In using this group, I have so many emails. When you put out a call and say, is Tuesday the such and such a good time, I wish people would, instead of starting a conversation where they go back into and list and contact all and say Tuesday's not good, if they would just contact you as chair and say it's not good and we can trust you to make some informed decisions.
That is fine with me.
Great.
I'm happy to do that. because I'm happy to also have my email get filtered down too. So in exchange, I will be happy to do that.
And I mean, and when it comes to subgroups, if you could have conversations among yourselves, and then if you come up with a conclusion as a group, if one person could report that to the whole group, it would just make. I mean, if we just give some thought as to not using send all the time,
mm-hmm.
it would really, I think, help.
Good suggestion, and hopefully everyone will heed it. May we move on to the educational work group?
Should we ask one more time if anyone would like to join the campaign/finance group?
Sure. I kind of took the deafening silence as an indication that people hadn't quite decided to do so yet.
I'm going to throw in a little guilt.
Perhaps they will when
Teresa's good at that.
can you let me know? I thought that I was on that committee, that subcommittee. Steve Brown,
I'm sorry, it didn't come through on the minutes, if that's so, but I'm sure they would be absolutely delighted if you were to join.
Okay.
So shall we consider that you want to be part of that one?
Yes.
Who's convening that?
Don White is.
Okay.
Don,
you're
going to contact us?
Don White is going to contact you, and I'm going to email him to tell him, since I think he's left the call, that you should be on that work group.
Okay, that's good.
Do you want me to do that right now?
If you want to, Teresa.
I will do that right now.
Is that Teresa?
I'll
Excellent.
Do that. Yes.
Excellent. Does anyone have objection to us moving to the next portion of the agenda?
No objection.
Okay, good. Let's do that. It is the report from the Education Work Group, which I think that since Sarv, who had convened the meeting, was unable to be here tonight, Sherna was originally going to do it, but obviously she's had to leave to go to another meeting. And I'm just looking. Brian, I know you sent out some notes on it.
Uh-huh.
But you only sent those to the... No, you sent them to the whole archives group, didn't you? Let's see, did you?
Did I?
No, I think you sent them just to the work group.
Okay.
Don't make me dig those up. Please summarize.
Let me do that. That's probably the easiest thing to do here. Hang on one second.
This is Teresa. Can I help you?
Fumbling to grab them.
Sure.
What do you want me to look for?
I've got them, actually.
The notes on the Archives Education Subcommittee?
And you know it's about a minute's worth of copy, so why don't I just read it? We did meet the subcommittee, educational subcommittee met on the 1st, and Sherna, myself, Bonnie, Sarv was on, Brian was on, and Donna Platt came on as a guest. And we convened for the first time. The following summary replaces formal meeting notes. No voting occurred, but Sherna Gluck expressed an interest in adding. Oh, and then my email is giving me all kinds of weird ASCII symbols here.
Oh, no.
Looks like library. Oh, adding library to the title of the work group so that now it is officially the Educational and Library Task Force, a subcommittee of the PMB Archives Committee. Donna Platt, Development Director for KPFT, was on the call as they had discussed a pilot project that was relevant. Donna came on the call to explain it a little bit. Here it is. Robin, Tyler, and Donna have been mulling over an idea to create a sampler CD to offer teachers to use in the classroom. It brought up a number of questions and some solutions that we went over. We need to work first with educators and professionals who write curriculum before we distribute audio as a curriculum. Sherna and Donna said they would get a listing of current standard curriculum for each specific estate, since each state has its own individual curriculum, and see what we can do that would complement existing studies. Donna and Robin are in dialogue with an educator at a private school that can act as a charter school to use our materials and give feedback, testimonials, student usage of the materials, etc. Everyone agreed with a point that Sar brought up, that we should each approach a number of schools with regard to economic and ethnic diversity to get a broad response. And then we got kind of reasonable about it and decided that it was best to sort of each of us work within our signal areas and create a list of inner city, rural, and private schools to approach with a proposal. Robin, Tyler, and Brian are going to work on a draft proposal. And that is pretty much where we got on our first meeting.
That sounds really hard.
Yeah.
Two corrections. Am I on now, Madeline?
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, that's right. Madeline was on the call, too.
I was on the call. And Sherna is not going to get all the protocol for all the different signals, just
right.
California, the curriculum standards.
Right.
She corrected that.
And perhaps we can enlist people from the other signal areas
right.
to help us with the other states. It looks like I would guess that maybe KPFT...
Donna would get.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. And I was mentioning earlier that at the UCLA Book Festival, I met two teachers from local schools who would be very interested in, you know, getting our materials. So it's, you know, I've got that info for when we need it.
Great.
One is
The archives did have a booth at the UCLA Book Festival, which has like 1.5 million people over 2 days. And you know,
yes.
We made a few $1,000s, but I think, you know, it was really incredible to see, you know, the people's responses to the content, because we really do have more to show this year than we do last year.
Yeah, I was in both, and the archives booth was very populated. That's where I met one teacher, and I met the other one at the KPFK booth.
So this is great.
Great.
You know, I wanted to share with you too one more thing about the UCLA Book Festival, and it's about Monday's immigration boycott. The staff came together, and we decided as a group that we did want to support the boycott. However, you know, as an institution, we really can't do that. So what we decided to do, we found a Cesar Chavez speech from 1964 at Harvard University on the success of an economic boycott. And so we made 100 copies of the CD, slapped a notice on the back of it that said the PRA staff with historical evidence, you know, offers this as our way of supporting the boycott and our brothers and sisters who are struggling for their rights. So
Great.
We were very happy to pass
Perfect.
Those out, and we got some fantastic feedback from, you know, young and old alike.
And they were gone before midday, I think.
Really?
Midday on
Saturday.
That's wonderful.
Later afternoon, and they were long gone.
Yeah.
There's
Great.
So much traffic.
There's about 1,000 of those things?
100.
You probably
cool.
could have given away close to 1,000. I don't know. There's so many people there. But, you know, we didn't finish our committee report because I corrected the Sherna and Donna, so we should keep going here.
That's okay, Brian. That's a cool thing.
That was formally the end of the committee report.
other than the corrections
that Sherna later did come in and say that she was going to work on California and that we... accidentally left Melinda off of there.
Oh, Madeline.
I'm sorry, Madeline off of there.
Right.
Brian, could I just ask,
uh-huh.
I know that we need to go out and look at curriculum and get kind of a grasp on what might make sense, but it's a little bit chicken and the egg to me if we are going to go to individual teachers. And maybe if we have ideas of people who are supervisory to a number of teachers, do you have in your head any idea of your perfect fantasy sampler? So that we would have some sort of groundwork, some kind of framework, were we to be able to go to people that work with, you know, any number of schools to give them an idea of what we might be talking about.
Forget the perfect part.
Right, the perfect world.
Don't worry.
I've described the perfect world.
Who just asked right. that question?
That was Bonnie.
Okay.
All right, so, so Addie, you can add to this if you like. But I think that the strength has always been shown in the civil rights movement, mid-60s, late-60s.
Right.
In that documenting that thing, like that's why we're in the Berkeley, I mean the Eyes on the Prize film so much. And then I think if we start with that focused material that we actually all know fairly well, at least we can respond emotionally to it, you know, we sort of know what it was about and most of you were there. So I think that if we take those recordings, and believe me, there are plenty to take and put together a 6-CD sampler. I think that's what we could start. And, like, who we approach, of course, would be the department heads that focus on those studies or research libraries within the university system that, you know, has those materials. You know, that's what we took to Howard University. We did, you know, the history department at Howard University, and that department head invited all the professors of that department. So we had, you know, West African history and, you know, the Cuban history and the Caribbean history.
It was awesome.
It was really awesome. There was, you know, maybe 13 or 14, like, major professors, you know, accepting our donations of, you know, Du Bois and Robeson and James
and
Baldwin.
And saying that what they were going to do with it and how they were going to research with it.
Cool.
It was, like, it was amazing.
Right. So, you know, and we did hit that sort of, like, you know, moment of truth when the, you know, the teachers asked, you know, Addie and myself and Barry Scott, who are all there presenting the materials, you know, what do you want us to do with them? You know, and we did have to say, well, we want you to study them and tell us how important they are. And we're, you know, it's sort of like us not really knowing how they fit into academia. So I think, you know, if we do some work with them, we could probably already get some feedback from the students.
Yeah,
and we repeated
had some
that
right
at
there.
We already did that. Repeated that same thing at University of Pennsylvania, Temple University. That's it.
We
know
we're.
Yes,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry. No, it's fine. I was just going to say we're really, you know, the strongest things that we all know off the top of our heads about the collection are the civil rights movement and the peace movement. You know, those are the two things we can, you know, that we're closest to being able to present and that academicians think of us for.
Right. I mean, and after that, sort of like, once we sort of like get our foothold and we sort of like see how they work, and this Charles Kolb from the NEH, we actually talked to him about those donations to the schools. And the NEH is actually looking for a way to measure the success of their digitization grant projects. Like we, you know, the NEH gives money to people to digitize materials, and then they just sit in their archive, and they're not made. We're very, very lucky, the archives, we're very lucky that we have the airwaves to produce the material and make them heard again, and we actually can show some measurements. So he was actually interested in working with us on working out a grant proposal on measuring how what the impact of a digitization project would be. So, it, you know, there's some definite serendipity there.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Really.
Did everybody have a chance to see Brian's memo that he sent out earlier today about what they did with the kids at the NFCB? Because I thought that was a fantastic, you know, moment.
Thanks.
Brian, maybe you could just roughly run down that, because I'm not sure that everyone's had a chance to see your memo.
One of the things that was so amazing, though, was that, like, when Brian first proposed that, when the archives first proposed that, the people on the other end at NFCB were saying, like, the archives, you know, the kids will be interested, I don't know. And then the kids were, like, more behind that than any other proposal that came to them, which was so amazing. You know that,
Brian? Yeah, the Youth Steering Committee. No, I did not know that,
actually. Yeah, yeah.
Brian?
Well.
Steve Brown, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm curious, back to the connection with the academic departments of Howard and other universities, was there any possibility of talk about when you create this set of 6 CDs or whatever it was, of having them use them as course materials that they could then buy in class quantities for some very small amount of money.
No, we really hadn't gotten there yet because we hadn't done enough digitization and enough work to even tell them what it was that we wanted them to buy. But it was certainly with that in mind, Steve. You know, I think we're definitely in the, you know, we're not in the world of donating everything to everybody for free.
But I
think we wanted to sort of just test to see how the reaction was at first. I mean, we really hadn't shown these materials to anybody.
I realize that. I didn't know if you had gotten to that point. I have one thought is that many college professors make their money or their reputation or their self-satisfaction by asking the classes to buy textbooks that they have either written or written introductions to. And if you have like a 6-CD set and you go to Howard and you say, Professor so-and-so or Professor of Black Studies, we'd like you to record an introduction and an overview of this set for possible use as class materials. That would then go in the school bookstore and they might recommend them to sell as class materials. Then you go to some other university and ask the Professor of Black Studies there to do the same thing and you provide a set for their university in the same way. And that's really the way textbooks are done, and the collusion, I hate to say it, between textbook printers, publishers, and college professors that has been going on for at least 75 years.
Well, that's great. I think that we can actually jump on that a little bit. Malete Asante at Temple University is a really close friend of the archives and has recorded a number of testimonials or academic response to James Baldwin or Robeson or whoever it is we were talking about. So I think that I can approach Dr. Tolbert and Malefi Asante and a few others we've already recorded and sort of put something together.
That would be great. And then at each college you say, well, they did this at Temple, they did this in Howard, how come you're not doing this in Dallas or Arkansas, wherever the heck they are?
Right.
Right. And they can do it their way.
Right.
It's a great idea.
I want to mention that one of the teachers was from the LAUSD, you know, this huge school district here, and they said the emphasis is on kids using primary sources.
Woo!
So wouldn't that be
us? That does. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, maybe that's why when Brian, you know, gives this report about what happened with the kids, I mean, they really turned on when they heard the voices, right, Brian, if I remember your report right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We had before in FCB, Maria Armudian, who's KPFK local station board member. She's also a professor at, I hope it's right, UCLA or USC.
She's getting her degree at USC, so I think she's an associate professor, and she's not on the board anymore because Villaraigosa appointed her to a committee. So she had to get off the board, but she is a programmer at KPFK.
Right. So she's a associate professor in media studies. So she had, I think it was 40 college students take a tour of the archives. And
their
project is in podcasting. So we actually worked with them, a few of them on their projects. They had already had their subjects selected. And then we did some searching and found some materials that was appropriate for them to use. Now the NFCB conference, youth radio conference workshop that Bonnie and talked about briefly, NFCB conference, National Federation of Community Broadcasters, is usually the place where the archives represent Pacifica, community radio place, network community. Most of the affiliate stations attend there, so it's like our one chance to meet our affiliate programmers and general managers. And that's sort of like what we do there. Don't really do anything like make a lot of money or make a lot of connections in previous years. Since we've been doing the affiliate program is sort of back on board and it's gotten up to 90 stations now, and we've been using the NFCB conference to offer premiums and services to the affiliate stations. And we were sort of like already there. You know, we have enough affiliate stations that respond to us, and we're making money for them more than ever. In fact, I think it was some $30,000 to $40,000 we've raised for affiliate stations in their local area based on the premiums from the archives.
Wow.
Next
Thursday. I'll be doing 90 minutes fundraising for the station at Goddard College in Vermont, with who uses, in their last fund drive, used only Archives premiums and doubled their fund drive from broke their record.
Wow.
110%.
Wow.
All right, so this year, you know, I really didn't know what to do for NSCB conference. We already talked to the affiliates. We were going to talk to the affiliates, and it's basically about the new From the Vault weekly radio series that we're producing. So we wanted to do something extra, which was the youth radio conference, which is really, really important. And I'll let Addie say why it's important. But our workshop really was about offering, you know, how them the skills to access archives in any way that they go through in life, whether they're in radio or other media studies or anything else. We wanted them to sort of understand, you know, what an archive is as opposed to a library, and how do you access it and what do you do with it. So we created a little sort of project that was, you know, done in 90 minutes, where we took the rare recording of Coretta Scott King and listing the 10 commandments on Vietnam 3 weeks after Martin Luther King was assassinated. And we sort of played 3 minutes of the clip, gave them, you know, the task to edit it down to a minute and a half, add 30 seconds of narration to do a 2-minute public service announcement for the archives. And we, you know, split the group in two. Some, you know, half did narration and half did the sound editing. Learned some incredible editing skills from, mixing skills from Mark Torres, and, you know, some great writing skills from me, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And what they came up with was truly amazing. Something that none of us really expected, and how they responded to Coretta Scott King's voice and the information. I mean, how, and they really got how relevant it is, and they used beautiful language in their narration.